What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bobby Talker-ish podcast. I'm your man, B.O.B., Bobby, your co-creator, along with my man, Ish, the other co-creator. How you doing, my brother? How's everything?
Everything is great, my brother. It's good to hear from you. Hopefully, family's good. Everything's good on my side. Thank the Lord. I just want to say, straight up, a big shout out to all the people on the front lines, maintaining, fighting through this pandemic. You know, especially right now when people are starting to fall asleep right now, thinking because the weather's getting nice, you know, we got to stay focused and just listen to authority. Make sure y'all take great precaution. You know what I mean? But we looking good right now, G. You heard? Everything's looking official.
Yeah, I agree, man. You know, the frontline people, man, thank you very much for your hard work. The fire department, police department, nurses, doctors. All you guys are doing great, man. Thank you for your service. You know, yeah, and that's the thing, you know, that's the thing. People can't start nodding off because just because summertime is around the corner, you know, I know everybody wants to go to the beach, everything like that, but we still got to just stay smart. You know, we get through it together, you know, we'll come back like your man Mike Tyson is coming back.
Ooh,
what do you think about that, man?
Man, that's the sauce right there, my guy. That, to be honest with you, I'm always been a Mike Tyson fan, you know what I mean? But to be honest, that coming right now, that we got no sports and that we thirsty, that almost sounds like the golden age Mike Tyson's coming back. We just so amped right now. But I think he'll do his thing, but, you know, he just got to be careful. You know, he is 53 years of age, but, you know, let's see what happens. You know, the guy looks great, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been a huge Mike Tyson fan my entire life, man, since I've been watching boxing since I'm a kid, you know. You know, I saw the video of him back training, and he looks like a monster. At 53 years old, the speed this man possesses is still crazy. You know what I mean? And the good thing, too, is that I saw that he might be taking on Evander Holyfield again for charity. So that's pretty cool to me, you know.
Yeah, they got a lot of history, these two, you know, and I'm not even going to front, though. That's one fight that Tyson couldn't really take his soul, you know what I mean? Holyfield wasn't having it, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, real deal Holyfield, man. He's been through his, you know, through his wars, too. He got a tough life, so he's not afraid of nobody.
Nah,
you know?
that's the thing, too. I think Tyson's career hit the peak a little higher, but I think Holyfield was one of those fighters that, you know, really was not scared of him, you know what I mean?
That's the whole thing, too. I think Evander Holyfield was the first fighter that Mike Tyson was afraid of. For whatever reason. Whatever reason that, you know, it is. But I think that was the case. And I think that's why Mike Tyson wound up losing to him, you know, those two times, I guess, you know. So, I mean, and that's why I had to bite.
Yeah. You know, when somebody bites you, you know, he just in your head, you know, you can't hurt him. And he had to resort to that. But I ain't even trying to talk on some negative shit on him. You know, he's a legend. They're both legends. But I respect them for trying to come back, you know. Boxing.
No,
boxing,
me too.
Boxing is the only sport that you don't play. You know what I mean? You have to fight. You know what I'm saying? So.
No, exactly. Exactly, man. It's, you know, it's two gladiators. You know, it's you and another man, you know, or a female and another
That's
female.
Right.
You know, it's kind of that kind of that kind of way of thinking of kill or be killed.
That's right. That's right.
Where there's a million, you know, the nerves that got to go through these guys when you go into the ring like that, it's got to be something that only a few people obviously experience. You know
nah,
what I mean?
You're right so, about that. Because think about it. When you play any sport, you get those nerves in the beginning. You know, it almost makes you feel like you got to use the bathroom. So these guys are already trained and accustomed. Like, they probably don't eat nothing the whole day just to be on point. And then after the fight, obviously, they eat like savages. But
sure, man. I mean, you hear a lot of boxers say that, you know, yeah, I was a little, you know, a little timid going in, or I was a little nervous going in until I got punched in the face. Once I got punched, then I was ready to go. You know what I mean? And that's that kind of that combat sport where that's what it takes for you to get ready, you know, and it's just an amazing mentality you got to have, you know. So, I mean, I give boxers and MMA people, man, a lot of respect, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no question. The kind of abuse and that you put your bodies and the rigors you put your body through training just to get to fight, it's crazy, you know? You got to have a lot of discipline, and, you know, you got to be mentally tough for that.
Yo, the mental game is A1, you know? That's and that's got to be from Jump Street, too. That's got to be from the beginning, you know, that killer instinct, you know, that Michael Jordan, that Tom Brady, that type of thing, you know?
Yeah, you just set two legends there, and, you know, that's something good we could touch on right now. I believe the battle everybody wants to say is whose career was bigger? Was it Brady or Jordan? And that one, we could be here forever because they accolades both is mind-boggling. Like, you would think is they playing against nobodies, but, hey, they accomplished these feats, and, you know, you got to give them respect. So what you think about that? Who you think career was not longer but was more impactful?
Wow. I mean, more impactful, without a doubt, hands down, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he changed the landscape of everything.
He changed the world. He changed the world. Once them Jordans came out,
yeah.
Once them Jordans dropped and hit the stores, people are still robbing people for Jordans.
Nah, I know.
You know what I mean?
They're so killing themselves for those sneakers, no question.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, listen, Tom Brady still doing his thing. You know, the guy is, what, 41 now or something?
Nah,
40 years old,
he just turned 43.
43. All right, so I mean, look, he's still playing at 43 years old at a high caliber.
That's right. At a high level.
You know, I mean, imagine Jordan. You know, I can't remember what age he retired at, you know, but he's been retired for a long time. But he was in his, you know, I think in his mid-30s or his late-30s when he retired, and he was still doing his thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, but his once he got with the Wizards, his game was not Jordan game. You understand? It's almost like Brady was still Brady, my man. Like, you know what I mean? Brady was just a beast. And what's crazy, I think, with Brady is that he did a lot of this without a number one tailback, without a number one receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, Gronkowski came later on, but he did a lot of these things with scrap players that Belichick built these guys up and turned them into monsters. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree with you. Now let's take it a different way where other people are talking about this as well. Who do you think makes who? Do you think it's Belichick making Brady or is it Brady making Belichick?
Okay. I know a lot of people are going to probably hate on me on this one, but I think Belichick's system made Brady. You know what I'm saying? Because that system is crafted, and Brady just mastered it. You know what I mean? Like, now we're going to see what Brady's about. He got a new system. Obviously, you got to give him time. It ain't fair to put Brady in a new system and expect Hall of Fame numbers that year. You got to let him get used to it. But I will say, it's a whole different system. You know, that Belichick system is as you can see, it produced a lot of rings. You know what I mean? So we know that system works.
That's a great Bruce Arians
system is a little different. Like, the quarterbacks aren't going to be star-studded, but they don't win. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't heard him hold the Lombardi Trophy. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. Belichick won those rings, and it was not just Belichick alone. The defensive coordinator, the offensive, everybody was a team. It was a team game, you know, from the top up.
Sure.
But it's different. You know, I think Brady's going to have a rude awakening when he hits Tampa. It's not the same.
No, listen, man, that's a great point, man. You know, and I'm sure people are saying the same thing, you know, but that's a great point that you said about the system, because you got to find, you know, people always say, oh, system quarterback. But it takes kind of like a genius level almost to master a system like that, you know, because, I mean, listen, we've all heard, you know, NFL playbooks and everything else. Though things are like encyclopedias. How big they are, you know what I mean? And for anyone, and that's why these guys are professionals, by the way, you know what I mean? That's why me and you was talking about a podcast.
That's right.
You know, but
we talking ish, you know what I mean? And they get paid the mills, you know?
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, and by the way, in case you guys forgot who you're listening to, this is Bobby Talker Ish Podcast. Yeah. Thank you all for listening, man. You know, keep up, We're here for you guys. Like us and subscribe. We'll always be here for y'all, man. So we appreciate the listening, jumping on the bandwagon, you know, and the crazy ride that we about to go down. So this is the first episode that we got going, you know, so it's an exciting time for myself and for my co-creator Ish. And, you know, so we're looking to have a lot of fun with you guys, man. You guys can find us on, you know, social
all the
media,
social websites, you know, all of them.
Yep. You know, just, you know, hit us up with some questions. You know, what do you guys want us to talk about? We'll be more than happy to do so.
Yeah, y'all could be part of the show. You know what I mean? We throw your name out there and all that. Just hashtag Bobby Talker Ish. You know, we trying to change the game.
Of course. You know, so with that being said, let's go back to the point about assistant quarterback.
Yeah, that's a great point. We can't leave that like that.
No, not at all. I mean, you got quarterbacks who, you know, they know the system, but they play outside
of the
system.
Exactly.
It makes sense.
See, for the viewer might not understand what we're saying. But like, let's just give you an example. Peyton Manning. Was Peyton Manning a system quarterback, or he was just his talent created the system?
Well, I think Peyton Manning took the system
That's
to the next
right.
level.
He created the system.
So
he was
right.
the system.
He would master. Exactly. He basically wrote the playbook on whatever team he was on. So, I mean, you know, he was the coach on the field. You know, all his audibles, you know, the Omaha, all that stuff, you know, all the funny things that people
and
say
everything
about that.
Everything had a meaning. All that was precise. All that it was intuitive. He had everything was with a purpose. You understand?
Sure. And the thing, too, I think that Peyton Manning is – the perfect example of somebody playing chess while others are playing checkers.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because he's playing a mind game with you. He's trying to mind fuck you quick. Yep. And, you know, okay, you know, the middle linebacker is calling out defensive signals, you know, and all right, you know, strong right, strong left, or whatever it is. But Peyton Manning is already knowing you're going to
do that. He's already three plays ahead of you.
Exactly.
You know, look, and to talk on Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best. And it even took him a long time for him to get through Brady. That's just to show you how monster Brady was. Like, it was a lot of battles Brady went through with the best quarterbacks. And, you know, he defeated them, you know what I mean? And obviously
another good point.
Team, when I mean defeat, I don't want you to think it's a one-on-one thing. But, you know, the quarterbacks usually take most of the hit. When you lose, it's because of the quarterback, they usually say, or the corner or whatever. But it's like the pitcher in baseball. The pitcher usually takes the hit when the game get out of hand. You know what I'm saying? But
no, I agree. I agree. But I think the quarterback, out of all the major sports, is the one guy that takes all
yes.
of the punches.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's why all of these teams and organizations are trying to find that spokesperson kind of to be in front of the microphones and say the right things, not throw anybody under the bus, you know, say, yeah, listen, it's on me.
That's a great point you made. But see, the examples that we gave, those two quarterbacks are old school throwbacks. See, the new generation coming in with the social media, now it's all about me. You know, I want the number one sales. I want the number one shoe deal. So they going out of character just to take the spotlight, you understand? And a guy like Brady and Peyton Manning, they just practice, you know, master it, you know? And that's the way to go, you know? Like, you know, a lot of people throw a lot of shade at Eli Manning, you know? And they say, oh, Eli Manning, he got lucky. My man didn't get lucky. My man worked. He, you know what I mean? He took his lumps, and out of all people, you know, his career wasn't the best, but I'll tell you one thing. When he went against Brady, he outplayed Brady both those Super Bowls, you know? And
of course.
You know, I'm not throwing no shade because Brady's a Hall of Famer, you know, and he's still playing. But on that day, Eli Manning outperformed, you know? He did his thing. You know, a lot of people always throw shade, but I just had to throw that plug, you know, give Eli his props, you know?
No, of course. I mean, listen, that's why he won the MVP, you know, in those Super Bowls, because he shined. you know, at the biggest
spot.
Yeah,
but you know, we in the New York market, and you know, everybody was like the defense this, the defense that. But who made the throw on third and long? No, I mean, it was not the defense. The defense was cheerleaders. You know what I'm saying? When Eli was going down the field.
I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. That throw that he made to Manningham.
Clutch.
I think that is the best throw ever in football. The way he pinpointed that ball, that
and
was
he took
crazy.
A hit. He took a hit, too.
He got, right in the stomach, he got hit. You know what I mean? And he put it right there where only his man could catch it.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was against the Niners, so they laid him.
No, that was the Patriots in the Super Bowl on the
sidelines.
Yeah,
that was the Manningham play. That was
during that final drive.
Yeah, I know what that is, you know.
It was third and super long.
Yeah.
You know, it was third and super long. And they were on like the 10-yard line, I believe it was, or something like, or the 12-yard line, or whatever, or it could have been a 7. Who knows? I forgot. But he dropped back, the pocket collapsed. Your man just kind of did his Eli type of throw almost, where he closed his eyes and threw it. You know what I mean?
Word.
And and
he made the catch.
But my point is where he put that ball.
Only my man could catch it. Only his receiver could catch it.
Yeah, it was. I go back and watch it now, and I'm like, "Oh my God, how does he do that? It's crazy."
Nah,
it's crazy.
He also had a big third down with Steve Smith, that it was third and forever too on the other side of the field, and he got that. And it was Steve Smith had to earn that one. It was just not a gimme. He had to scamper and get that first down, and that kept the chains moving.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give them props, man. You know, they played great that day, and they won. You know.
Speaking of that, man, speaking of third and long, man, I watched the 1990 Super Bowl against the Bills the other day. And let me ask you this. I'm sure you know it. Who was the quarterback?
Of that was Jeff Hostetler.
My man. So he hit number 82, Mark Ingram, on the right hash marks. And Mark Ingram makes one of the most incredible plays in Super Bowl history.
Juke.
Oh my God! I thought the guy tore ligaments in his knees after he made that move.
Left him in
crutches. You know what I mean? I was like,
left
him
in crutches, Pop.
Like, he basically folded him. That's what like a folding chair.
Folded him. Yikes!
You know what I mean? And I still get chills watching that, even though it's been so long ago. You know, because I remember watching that and getting so excited, man. It was just a crazy thing, you know, like even 86. I remember 86 watching the game too. It was just wild, man. Watching your team win for the first time is like the biggest or best experience as a young boy, you know what I mean?
Nah, you're right about that, man. It's a good feeling when your team accomplishes the biggest feat, you know, but that one there, what I remember most was when it came down to that Buffalo Bills kick. And that one was scary, you know? So
Yeah. I mean you had to feel the same way when the Mets won in 86, you know what I mean? So
yeah, 86 is major, man. Let me tell you, I remember that vividly, and I was a young kid at the time, but I never forget it, you know. It was a good year that year, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the good thing for me is that you know, I get that feeling a lot, being that I'm a Yankee fan. So, you know, I know what it feels like a little more than you guys.
Of course you
do,
man. You guys held New York down. I'm not a hater. I give you guys your respect. So, you know, I give you your respect on that. And, you know, hopefully this year is different. It's a different year.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, hopefully we get back playing soon, you know, with all these different alignments going on right now. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Yankees and Mets will be in the same division. So that would be tremendous if that happens. And I hope that it works, because moving forward, after we get through this pandemic, I'm hoping that they keep the alignments the same.
That might be a poll question we might have to create, Pop, because I'll tell you right now, The fans will vote. The fans will vote
yes,
on
sir.
That. They don't want that to be key. But I know I got a feeling it's going to go back to how it was. If everything, obviously, if this pandemic starts to go away, with the numbers are almost unnoticeable, you know, because there's still a lot of people dying, and you know, it's still hot right now. It's not a shame,
of course.
People think everything is cool. It's not cool right now. So you guys got to take precaution and just make sure y'all tune in, listen to the authorities, find out what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too. A lot of players, you know, they might not want to play. You know, it depends on them. I mean,
yeah.
You know, pay scale, you know, that whole thing, too. I mean, and I can't blame them. I can't hate on the players not wanting to not play because of this. I can't hate them.
Nah, especially when you got family and you got kids. You know, your number one thing right now is safety. And it seems the owners and everybody's is just seeing the dollars, you know, the money, and they're not taking a safety thing. That should be the number one priority. Like, because if all the big names stay home, Major League is going to have a problem.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. You know, and that was my next point, too. Like, I mean, the guys who are making, you know, $300 million a year, $400 million a year, even $100 million.